If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. I've entitled this sermon, "It's Time to Check Your Oil." Now, many of you are too young to remember what a real service station was. But it used to be in the old days, you would pull up to get gas, somebody pumped it for you, they would pop the hood and check your oil. They cleaned the windows, checked the air and the tires. It was a service station. Now we have a fueling center, okay? It's a little different. And quite honestly, now we don't check our oil, do we? Because the computer in our car tells us, you have 30% life left in your oil. We just trust this little computer to keep us on track. But here's the problem, folks. In our spiritual walk, there's no little computer that's checking our oil. And if we don't check our oil, there's a chance it'll run dry. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is telling the story. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Sound like the world we're in? About half wise, about half foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Jesus is telling a story here. And we'll look and we'll see, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. But all of them wanted to be with the bridegroom. The parable starts off, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But not everyone's prepared to go. Today I want to look at being ready. All 10 were in line to go in. 5 wise, though. 5 foolish. Everybody today wants to go to heaven. It's like a Disney movie. All dogs go to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. It's popular doctrine, isn't it? Everybody gets in. But that's really not the truth. If we do worldwide surveys, and I'm not sure if I should be don't listen to these surveys anymore because it's discouraging, approximately 20 to 25% of the world claim to be Christians. Out of the 8 billion, for just round purposes, that means that 2 billion are Christians and 6 billion are not. That means 75% of the world don't even claim to know Christ. 75% of the world doesn't even know him or doesn't claim to know him. Then we have the 25% that bear the title Christian. And quite honestly, this is who my lesson's to today. 25% who's say they're ready for the Lord. They were all there. They were all the virgins. They were all prepared. But 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," enters into the kingdom of heaven. It's time we check the oil supply in our hearts and our lives. Many people who are Christians think they're born Christians. Many are serving God out of obligations for what they think they have to do. What I'm telling you is we have to be wise. We have to live, folks, like we expect Christ to come back today. Because if you don't have expectations that he's coming back, you begin to get slack. Begin to gear down. You fail to check your oil, and soon your soul is dry. Jesus tells of a story of a master who went away and left his servant in charge. Well, it seemed like the master wasn't coming back in a very quick time, so the servant decided to slack off, do things his way. Matthew 24, verse 48. But that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. And he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunken. And the Lord of that servant shall come in a day he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Anybody know where that place is where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? Hell, yeah. The eternal lake of fire. He had the opportunity to be ready, but he grew slack. Instead of choosing to do good, he chose to do evil. He wasn't ready. We live in a world today where it seems everybody wants to change everything. Don't be talking to us about sin, Pastor, because we want to do what we want to do and we're still going to go to heaven. Wrong answer. Well, we live in a world that's getting dumber and dumber. I wish we were 50-50. Five wise, five foolish. From what I'm hearing and seeing on TV, I think it's slanting like 80-20 maybe towards the fools. Come on. Some of you are old enough when we were able to figure things out without being told. We all knew what a marriage was. One man, one woman made a marriage. Now we can't even define a marriage in this country. Not only can't we define a marriage, we can't define what gender we are. You got birth certificates that male, female, undecided. This is stupid. We live in a world of foolish. It keeps getting worse exponentially. Think about this. We live in a nation where somebody decided it's good to kill unborn babies. That's legal. What's illegal is praying for children in school. This is foolishness. The world is absorbed in foolishness. It's almost like a snowball coming down a mountain and there's no stopping it. It just gets bigger and bigger and dumber and dumber. This is the world that we live in. The Bible said there would be days like this they'd call good evil and evil good. Well, you've lived to see it, folks. You are that generation that gets to see it. But I'm not worried this morning about the world. These were the people who said they were ready for Christ. This was the story that said we had 10 in the church. Five were wise and five were foolish. It's time to check the oil. We have to live with an expectation that we've got a job to do for Christ. He said, occupy till I come. We've been lulled to sleep. The church has been lulled to sleep. We have. How else can we get to the situation we're in? It doesn't even make any sense. I'm not an educator, but I know enough about Common Core that we've managed to complicate math. Now it takes 20 times more exercises than it did before. I think they say that's because we're too dumb to memorize the charts and the tables. So we figured out another way to do it. We don't need to complicate life. We need to make it a little easier to understand. And this is how easy it is. God made us in his image and expects us to live holy. End of statement, whether you like it or not. You don't redefine sins to make it easy. That's not what God says. He said, you're fools. You can redefine it however you want to call it. But it's sin in my book. It's sin. God made the universe. He made the rules. You better know what's in it. And I'm sick and tired of people coming up and telling me, well, my church tells us not to read the word. The pastor doctor will tell us what we need to know, or the priest will tell us what we need to know, and we don't need to read it because it'll confuse us. Now, you guys are laughing because I hammer home every week, you read your Bible, you study, you know what God said. But I'm telling you, there are whole denominations out there that tell their people, don't read it. We'll tell you what you need to know. That should scare us. Because all of a sudden, the Bible said there will be those who will be the teachers who will say, well, obviously people don't like me preaching on sin, so let me tell you what you want to hear. So that people go there because, hey, I can live in my sins and still go to heaven. It's an easy gospel to preach. Live any way you want, brother. Do anything you want to do. We're all going to heaven. Hallelujah. That's not the truth. It's being preached out here now with hyper grace. Oh, the grace of God will forgive everything. Go sin all you can. Hallelujah. Get your money's worth. Live like the devil and still get to go to heaven. Can't beat it. I'm telling you this, no man can serve two masters. It's where your heart is. We got to get back, church. We got to wake up and get out of this lull. And the way to do that is we got to draw closer to God. We need to be closer today than we were yesterday, but not as close as tomorrow. It's a continual journey. We got to have a hunger. We got to have a thirst. We have to think that the only reason he's tarrying his coming is for us to do our job. Peter tells us that. The Lord isn't slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He said he knows he's coming back. He hasn't forgotten. He's just waiting for the church to do their job so that souls will be saved. But as I see the battle raging, there's going to be a point where God said, are we gaining children or losing children? And at some point, he'll say, my losses are greater than my gains. And he'll draw that line in the sand. And time will be no more as we know it. But until that day comes, we, the church, have a job to do. You are the key to getting things done. You need to be focused on God's calling in your life. God has a plan for your life. You're here for a purpose. Did you ever see the Blues Brothers? He said, I'm on a mission for God. Well, he really wasn't, but you are. I'm not saying you're called to be a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary. I'm saying you're called to be a light right where God's planted you. Some of you are old enough to remember that TV show Mission Impossible. They would get the instructions and then this tape would self-destruct in 60 seconds. And though it was called Mission Impossible, every week they got it done. But that's where the mindset comes in. If you don't think you can do it, guess what? You won't. Because if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right. Because whatever you perceive, that's what you do. If you say, well, this is impossible, then you won't do it. We got to quit thinking out of our own skill set. We got to start walking by faith. And say, hey, if God said to do it, then let's do it. Okay? My Bible tells me all things are possible. All things are possible. But I will tell you this, if we're going to do what God's called us to do, here's one thing we have to have. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you have to apply the talents and the gifts that God has given you already. We've got to have that mindset that Paul wrote to the Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's Philippians 4:13, probably a verse a lot of you have memorized. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You know, sometimes in the Christian realm, we have this pattern. First, you got to get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. What's the next step? That's where the church stopped for a number of years. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, done. That's not true at all. It's like us, if we're a football team, we get into the locker room, we get all of our equipment on, and we're ready, we sit down, don't go out on the field. That's what the church reminds me of, a football team that never leaves the locker room. We don't go out and do our job. We don't leave it all in the field. We never left the safety of the locker room. Never lost a game hiding out in the locker room. Never won a game either. It's time to get out of the locker room, church. Time to take it to the field, to the highways and the byways. God's going to put somebody in your path this week, and you better witness to them. That might be their last chance. Don't be saying, I'll call the pastor for you. I'm teaching you to be disciples of Christ to go about doing his business. You can lead them to salvation. I said, you can lead them to salvation. It's not hard, folks. It's not hard. We confess our sins. We accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Boom, pally, woody, we're on. Introduce them to Jesus Christ. He'll do all the rest. Come on. We got to get out in the field. We got to get out there to the highways and the byways. No wonder Jesus said, when I come back, am I going to find faith on earth? I thought that was a crazy question originally, Brother Dawn. Not so crazy anymore. Churches are closing. Churches are watering down their doctrine to make it more acceptable to our society. If you guys have paid attention at all in the news, there's some major bad news coming through denominations that I never dreamed I'd hear. Compromising with the world because the world says, well, there was a famous politician, and she said this. She said, the reason the church isn't growing is you're too judgmental. Well, folks, that's our job, to tell people there's a God that we're going to give an account to, and he's going to judge us. He's going to judge us. Don't you want to know what the questions are, what the answer is, what you're getting judged on? What's in the Word of God? She said, well, that's too judgmental. So what she's really saying is, don't tell them the truth. Just feed them pie and let them die. Hallelujah. Oh, make it sweet, make it easy. And what do you care where they spend all eternity? Well, I do care. I don't want anyone to go to hell. I have to warn you. This is what the Word of God says. We got to repent from our sins. That's a turning away. Whether you like it or not, I don't care how you were born, God can change you. You want to blame your birth on it? I was born a robber. Hallelujah. That's why God wants me to rob banks. Hallelujah. I'm going to start a church, the Church of the Robbers. Hallelujah. Then I'll rob the offering plate when it comes by. Hallelujah. Well, let's have the Church of the First Liars. Everybody lies. The better liar you get to become, the further you get to work your way up front. Hallelujah. It'll be good. It'll be easy. That's what the world wants. Oh, just give us easy. Tickle our ears, preachers. There's major evangelism on TV. I won't preach on sin because people don't like it. Well, people need to know about it. Come on, this is what the church does. If you're lost, the church should irritate you. There's nothing worse. I have somebody come in, I know they're lost, man. They don't know Jesus Christ. They couldn't find him in a bushel basket. I preach a sermon about salvation. They don't move at all. And when they're leaving, they say, oh, but pastor, great message. I'm like, apparently not, because you didn't respond. You're leaving like you came. You're lost. That's not a good sermon. I need the power of the Holy Ghost to touch hearts and lives. We need salvation to be real. This world is watering it down, folks. If you aren't in your word reading it, you're going to be fooled. Because the Bible says if God tarries his coming, the very elect could be deceived. Oh, everybody's doing it. It's okay now. Well, everybody's got one of those people in their families now, so it's okay. Well, let's just redefine sin, then that makes it easy for all of us. Oh, I don't like this sin, but this one's okay. We don't pick and choose which sins we get and we live in. It says God does. God's defined the sins. Don't blame me. Read the book. It's an abomination to God. It's an abomination to God. I don't care how many people are doing it. I had a young lady come up to me one time. Is it really wrong? Does the Bible say it's wrong for me to live with my boyfriend before we get married? I said, well, are we having sexual relationships? She said, yeah. I said, well, then you're fornicating. It is a sin before God. She said, but everybody's doing it. I said, well, everybody can. What did our parents used to say? If everybody jumps off a bridge, you're going to jump off too? You ever hear that one? Well, sin isn't defined by me. I don't define sin. God defines sin. I'm just telling you what he says. Then you got to choose. The world, you have to choose. You can't serve two masters. It's either or, not both. And church, our problem is we haven't checked our oil. Now, I grew up, my dad used to have a lumber business. He had got out of it before I was old enough to remember too much about it. But he taught me when we were running our chainsaws, when we flip over, to pour in the bar oil. He just didn't put a little squirt in there. He poured that bar oil into it, came all the way at the top and run down over the bar. He said, the last thing you want to do is not have enough oil and burn your saw up. So to this day, when I put my bar oil in, Brother Don, it comes out at the top and runs across. I slurp all the extra across my bar. Because, you know, if you run your chainsaw without oil, it binds up, burns up, and becomes useless. Well, that's the same thing I found out about Christians. Christians without fresh oil are pretty much useless. Don't give me that look. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. He said five of them didn't have fresh oil. Their oil ran out. It was dried up, and they were no good. Read it for yourself. Now listen to this story. In Acts chapter 4. The apostles. Now remember, back we talked in Acts chapter 2, what happened? These people got filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Filled, fired up. Now they're out there preaching, and they're getting their butts whooped physically, thrown in prison, threatened. They gather back, and they said, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak the word. They didn't even say take away the enemy. They just said give us more boldness. By stretching forth thy hand to heal. He said, let us lay our hands on the sick. The people will see signs and wonders. They can't argue that it may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed. Now who was this? The apostles who were just filled with the Holy Ghost two chapters prior. The place was shaken where they were assembled. And I pray that someday we get enough Holy Ghost here that this whole building just begins to vibrate. Shakes. That's how much Holy Ghost I want, man. The whole building shakes. I don't care if we shake three or four buildings around us. Hallelujah. Let the fire fall. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Wait, these were people already filled with the Holy Ghost. No, they were burning up their oil, baby. They were running the bar. They were out there putting some good use to it, and they needed to be refilled. And then they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, if you take that chainsaw out, you just fill it up in the morning, and you keep running it, you're in trouble because that oil gets used up. Pretty soon you have a bad bar. And if you ever try to cut a chainsaw without the chain running, that's not good. Not very effective. And neither will we be if our oil runs dry. These apostles were just filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. By Acts chapter 4, they wasn't refilled, renewed, refreshed. What I'm telling you, church, is you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you've never been filled, today's the day. If you've been filled, it's time for a refill. It is. Today's the day. The church serves as a fueling station. Okay? We got to fill back up here to go back out there. It is time we all get on fire for God. It's time we get filled and refilled. I don't want you to be before God and say, I almost made it. I was there, but then I slacked off and I lost my first love. Hey, who's he writing to here? He's writing to the 10 virgins who were there. They all wanted to go to heaven, but five of them didn't follow through with wisdom. They ran their oil out. Hey, I wish I could tell you everybody's going to heaven, but that's not the case, folks. There's only one door, one way through Jesus Christ. One way, that's it. It's a narrow way, but everyone's welcome to come through it. But there is no other way. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, not at all, nothing. Through this way. So if we reach this plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, we got to continue. Got to continue in the journey. Don't quit now. It's time to get filled and refilled. Filled and refilled and refilled. You know, I bought my truck here about a year ago. But you know, brother, if I don't stop at the gas station about once a week, it won't go. But I filled it up last week. Well, now if you have a truck that just sits there and doesn't go anywhere, probably won't burn any oil, but it doesn't do any good either. Well, they say an empty barn doesn't get dirty, but it doesn't do any good either. Church, it's time we get refilled so we can be productive. If your oil runs out, you dry up, you die. And just because you were filled in the 1964 camp meeting doesn't cut it. It's time for a new outpouring of the Holy Ghost in your life. I'm going to give you four quick tips here, and then we're going to have some older time. We looked at the 10 virgins today, five wise, five foolish. I'm going to give you some tips on how to stay wise. To be wise, you need to read, study, and know the scriptures. Especially today. Because not every church you would visit or go into or every TV station you turn on under the Christian station preaches the word of God. You better know what thus saith the Lord. To be wise, you got to start praying. You got to communicate with God. And prayer is a two-way process. Speak and listen. God will speak to you. I've never heard an audible voice, but he's impressed upon my heart and in my mind time and time again on a daily basis. If we listen. To be wise, you got to be at his house. Okay, it's here you recharge your batteries, folks. It's here we take time just to worship God and give him all glory. And we remember what he's done. And we hear testimonies of what he's done in the lives of others. That's to lift us up and to encourage us. And finally, you must be filled with the Spirit and refilled and refilled and use the gifts he gives us. Okay? Every one of us has a different role. If we're that football team, we're finally here all dressed, we're ready to go out on the field, well, guess what? They don't all go out and play quarterback. They each have roles. And that's why we're members of the body. We have different roles. But wherever God has planted you, bloom. Be a light right where you're at. You don't have to go to Africa to find lost souls. You don't have to go to Central America to find lost souls. They're all around us. They're all around us. According to our World Mission Department, China, India have more lost people, and we're number three with more lost people. You're in the third largest mission field in the world right now. You're already a missionary. You're in a nation that's in a post-Christian culture. Christianity's looked down upon. We're judgmental. Folks, it's time when the church becomes the church. Let the world be the world. We can't stop them from their thing, but don't let the church become the world. Let the church be the church. Let us become the sons and daughters of God and live lives that's pleasing in His sight. That's a simple roadmap for success. To be wise. Study the Word, pray, be in His house, and be filled with the Spirit. It's not a complicated procedure. Just something we got to take effort to do. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, Your word's very clear that we can run out of oil. Lord, we can grow cold. We can grow complacent. Lord, I pray right now that the power of the Holy Ghost will wake us back up. Lord, if there's some here in this building that don't know You as Lord and Savior, I pray, God, right now the Holy Spirit begin to convict hearts and life. If there's someone watching online that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, let the power of the Holy Spirit touch their heart. I pray, Lord, that they would accept You as Savior. And Your sins, their sins, oh Lord, You'd wash away with Your blood. And then, Lord, I pray for every believer to be filled today. Refilled, filled, refilled with a boldness. The apostle said, give us a boldness, God, that we may witness. And Lord, that is my prayer today. I pray that this church, Lord, would have a boldness to witness, that we'll win souls. We'll be a light right where You plant us. Lord, we'll use the gifts and the talents that You've placed in our lives when we trust You, God. Lord, I'm asking for a fresh anointing on each and every one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.